So this morning, as you've probably already gathered, we're doing something a little bit special, and honestly, I'm really quite excited about it. There's going to be four people up here who are pledging their lives to follow Christ and to join His church, and this is really something quite exciting, and they're going to do that in the waters of baptism. Now, I'm going to let each of the baptizees introduce themselves when we get to that stage, but I wanted to start with a little introduction explaining what these people are doing. And why getting wet is such a crucial part of the Christian journey. Being a Christian is about discipleship. Being a Christian is about discipleship. Now, discipleship is one of those words that if you've been around church for any amount of time, you've heard this word like a million times. But it's one of those words that often we don't really have a good idea what it looks like practically. We know that discipleship means following Jesus, but by looking at how we live as Christians, the evidence points to the fact that most church attenders think that if you've prayed a prayer and perhaps occasionally throw some money in the plate or something like that, then you are a disciple. But when we look at the scriptures, there's a bit more to discipleship than something that passively happens to you after you accept Jesus' gift of salvation. Now, stopping there for just a second, there is a little bit of the confusion that I think is justified, and that is because as we look to the Bible to define discipleship, you can't actually find any verse where it says, this is what discipleship is. It just doesn't exist. Rather, what we get is this progression of definitions that start with a virtually no commitment picture and then steadily increase to this extreme commitment place. So from virtually no commitment to extreme commitment. And we get this progression throughout the entire Gospels. It starts, it's okay, babies are allowed. It starts really right away in Jesus' ministry, but then it reaches its culmination, its peak, basically as Jesus is going to the cross. And so what I want to do for the next few minutes is look at just a couple of texts that show this progression and then explain why baptism, how it fits into this and why it's such an important part of the process. And so the first text comes from John chapter 1. I'm going to put all the texts up on the screen today. So if you want, you can open your Bibles and follow along, but the texts are going to be up there. The first one is John chapter 1. And this passage is talking about Jesus calling his first disciples. So there we read this. The next day, John, and this is John the Baptist, was standing with two of his followers. Jesus walked by. When John saw him, he said, look, see God's Lamb. The two followers heard what John said, so they went after Jesus. They followed after Jesus. Jesus turned. He saw them coming after him, and he said to them, what are you looking for? They said, teacher, where do you live? Jesus said, come and see. They went, and they saw a place where Jesus was staying. They stayed with Jesus the rest of that day. Andrew was one of those two disciples. He was Simon Peter's brother. The first thing Andrew did then was to find his brother Simon. He said, we found the Messiah. So this takes place at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Literally, John tells us this happened the day after Jesus was baptized. So on day two of his ministry career, Jesus puts out this invitation to the first two people who want to follow him. And the words that Jesus uses in this invitation are, come and see. Come and see. Now, a disciple is someone who follows Jesus, and discipleship starts wherever you first met Jesus, that first time. That's where it starts, and then it progresses from there. But here we see that at this initial encounter, there's very little that Jesus asks of us. His offer to Andrew didn't involve a request for money or a requirement that he put his best suit on and attend church or join some small group. He just invites him to come and see. Come and see. Then Andrew and the other guy, this nameless guy, they accept Jesus' offer and they become disciples. Now, notice at this point that these men know virtually nothing about Jesus. They just heard John say, look, it's the Lamb of God, and basically that's what we know that they know. They certainly have no idea where following Jesus is going to take them. Right? At that point, they don't have this figured out. But they're in, at least for now. And this is the thing with discipleship. Being a disciple of Jesus does not mean having everything figured out. That's really important. It does not mean having everything figured out. Being a disciple of Jesus starts with simply wanting to know more. That's step one in discipleship. Come and see. Come and see. If you're here this morning, you're at least at step one. You've come to see what's going on. But then something happens. Disciple doesn't stay at this stage for long. And that's because discipleship is about following Jesus. At least Christian discipleship is about following Jesus. And Jesus never stands still. So, he was on the move 2,000 years ago. He's still on the move today. So friends, if you have decided to follow Jesus, then you have to be prepared to move, prepared to change wherever it is that you find yourself. However hard Jesus has worked to get you where you are today, it's not enough. It's not the goal. You haven't arrived as a disciple. If you're following Jesus, there's something more. There's no one who's got it this morning all the way. So if you're someone who's been a disciple for more than a day, then you aren't a disciple simply because you prayed a prayer, simply because you came and checked out Jesus. You are a disciple if you're continually becoming more Christ-ian, becoming more Christ-like. That's what a disciple does. And that's what we're going to see as we jump forward 2.5 years to pretty much the end of Jesus' ministry career. And we're going to pick this up in Matthew 16 then. This is our second text. And it's here that Jesus makes it clear where discipleship goes after come and see. So here's the setting. Now, most of Jesus' miracles are already finished at this time. He's already fed the 5,000, he's walked on water, he's healed lepers, calmed storms, restored vision, raised the dead. On top of this, he's already finished or introduced most of his new teaching at this time. So he's given the Sermon on the Mount, he's taught people about the kingdom of God, he's given all sorts of parables that illustrate his ideas. All of that is finished or mostly finished by this time, but still his disciples haven't really figured him out. They know Jesus is incredible. They know he can work miracles. They've seen these. But they still thought that when Jesus spoke about the kingdom, that he was actually talking about this earthly kingdom that would somehow push out the Romans. And the key to that, the reason that's significant, if you wonder why we always talk about them thinking this way, the reason it's significant is because they think that following Jesus, they're following Jesus, they think that by following Jesus, they're setting themselves up, putting themselves in line for powerful positions in Jesus' kingdom. It's good to be a disciple of the emperor, isn't it? That's what they're thinking. But Jesus' kingdom is of a totally different kind, and positions of prestige in Jesus' kingdom are gained in a totally different way from what they're thinking. So in Matthew 16, Jesus gives us the final piece of the discipleship puzzle. And he explains what a mature follower looks like. There we read this. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders. This is not what the emperor says. This is weird. And that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Now this is out there. Peter took him aside. That's what number one guys are supposed to do, right? Take this guy aside. Begin to rebuke him. Jesus needs a good rebuke here, Peter thinks. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, the last time that Jesus used these words is in the temptations of Christ, where he says to Satan, "Get behind me, Satan," and Satan leaves him until an opportune time. This time, Jesus gets it again, though. "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple," now here's the catch, Jesus said to his disciples, these are people who are already disciples, they're already at the come and see spot. So this is you, this is us. Jesus says to disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple. So if you're out there today and you're past the come and see spot and you want to know what it means to be a disciple, this is for you. Jesus says this, my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Here Jesus gives us a picture of what it means to be a disciple, a mature disciple. And what he says is that a mature disciple takes up their cross and follows him. Now, how many people are wearing crosses this morning? You got a cross on? Just put your hand up. Okay? We wear crosses. I used to wear a cross all the time, but I haven't worn one for a while. But we wear them as jewelry. But the only people who took up their crosses in the first century are convicted criminals who are on their way to die. That's who takes up their cross. So take up your cross is not a cool saying that Jesus adopts from pop culture. He meant come and die. Come and die. And I think everyone will agree that there is a large progression between come and see and come and die. These are not the same thing. But this is the journey of discipleship that every person who follows Jesus takes. There's no such thing as a disciple who stays at the come and see stage, because a disciple is someone who's following Jesus, and Jesus doesn't stand still. He went to the cross. And so if we're following him, that means that's where we're going to. Now, the death that we die as we follow Christ is a death to ourselves. Primarily, we die to ruling our lives, and we turn the rule of our lives over to Christ. That's what happens. We die to our own desires and adopt instead Christ's desires for us. We die to our preferences. What you want to see happen here at church today, we die to that. And instead, we learn how to put the preferences of others before ourselves if we're disciples. And sometimes the death that Jesus calls us to goes even beyond this, to a point where we'd actually die physically. This doesn't happen in Canada much, but around the world, this is the main picture. We are the rarity right here. Most of the world, pick up your cross means die. Now, unlike come and see, which is a point in history, come and die is not a place you arrive at. As long as you've got breath in your lungs, there's always a bigger step to take. So there isn't anyone here who's arrived, as I said before, at being a disciple who can take it easy. If you've retired in your pursuit of Jesus, you're not a disciple. There's no one who can take it easy. Even if you've been following Jesus 90 years, he's not done with you yet. So disciples continually ask this question: in what area of my life does Jesus want me to stop focusing on myself and make him Lord? Where is it, Jesus, today that I need to come and die? That's what disciples ask. Now, we should just admit up front here that when we talk like this, come and die discipleship is painful. It costs everything. But that's not the final step. There's a huge promise attached to it that makes it worth it. Jesus doesn't just say, come and give your whole self to me and that's it, all right. He actually has something for disciples who come and die. Jesus says when we follow him, we end up living the way we were created to live. Living in line with what you were made for. And when that happens, we end up experiencing the abundant life that he designed for us from the beginning. Life that Jesus lived. How many of you think that when Jesus was walking around here 2,000 years ago, he was living like a real life? You think that? I mean, with the power of God so evident all over him? You think Jesus was really living? That was the spot you could nod your head or something like that. It's tough being up here, I tell you. All right, absolutely. Jesus says when we put Jesus first in our lives, when we die to ourselves, actually His life fills us. And we get to live in the abundance, the same abundance that Jesus experienced when He was walking around. So discipleship is a process that Jesus takes us through then from come and see to come and die in order to truly live. Come and see to come and die in order to truly live. And Jesus wants us to keep becoming disciples. Keep growing there. And He wants disciples, well, disciples do what their master did. And Jesus made disciples, so He wants us to make disciples. This is why at the end of Matthew, He says this, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So people who get baptized are getting baptized in obedience to Jesus. And they do this when they realize that they can't stay at the come and see stage anymore. They realize it's not enough just to come to church and to sing some songs and maybe to watch passively from the sideline as God moves in other people's lives. Every disciple has to move from come and see to come and die. And baptism is step two in the process in the discipleship journey. Come and see, baptism, come and die, truly live. It's the point where we go from watching Jesus to saying, I'm going to invest myself in obeying Jesus, whatever the cost. Whatever I have to give up, I don't care, I'm going to obey Jesus. I'm going to follow your lead to the cross, I'm in. This is what baptism symbolizes. And when we go down into the water, it's a picture of us dying to our old self and to sin. And then when we come back up out of the water, it pictures us rising with Jesus to new life. This is why in Romans, Paul tells us, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too, see here's the promise, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. So let me ask you, do you want to live in the power of Jesus' resurrection? Thank you. All right? If yes, then realize that following Jesus isn't about you. You're not at the center of the world. It's about moving from come and see to come and die. It's about giving Jesus control in your life. And when you do, you find that this is where true life is. Life like the kind that Jesus lived. This is what these four people who are entering the waters of baptism are saying. They're saying that the life that I've lived to this point isn't a good spot to stop. I'm plunging in for good. I've come past come and see. I'm learning to come and die because I'm not content. I'm not content with the life that I have. I want to join Jesus. I want the new life that He offers. I want to be united with Him in His death so I can get to His resurrection. I want to live in that forever. And so I'm coming to die to follow Him. What about the rest of us this morning? For the rest of us, I'll just end with these challenges. As we watch these baptisms, the challenge for the rest of us is to ask Jesus, where are you calling me to follow you today? Where are you calling me to follow you today, to follow as a disciple? Because the fact is that Jesus has a call on each of our lives here. He's moving. If you're going to keep up with Jesus, He has to call you to keep coming. So where are you calling me to follow you as a disciple? Maybe some of you are in a spot today where you're just hearing the come and see call. This is new to you. You haven't been following Christ. If that's you, answer the call. Come check it out. Well, you have. You're here. And there's something real I want to encourage you to watch in these people who are getting baptized here. So come and see this morning testimonies of peoples whose lives are changing. Maybe you're at a spot where you've been checking Jesus out, but you haven't jumped in for good. If this is you, if you're going to be a disciple, you need to do what Jesus says. One of the first things Jesus tells us is get baptized. This is step number two. So come and talk to me. We can fill this tank again. It's not that big a deal. We'll even heat it for you. Maybe we shouldn't. If it's following Jesus, come and die. It'll be stone cold polar bear dip. All right. Okay, no, we'll do it again. Others of you, you've passed this come and see stage. You're on the road to come and die. And if that's you, the question for us is ask Jesus what's next. What's next? Because you haven't arrived today. So what do you want to change in me? I'm ready to die because I want to truly live. Those are the questions that disciples ask. That's the progression that the disciples go through, and that's why getting wet is such a big deal for Christians. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we come before you as a church this morning, as people who love you. We're here because we love you. We're here because we love people who love you and they're pledging their lives to follow you this morning. Jesus, I ask that as these testimonies are heard, that your Spirit would go out powerfully. God, don't leave us where you found us today, any of us. Take us from here. Move us towards where you want us to be. Do something, a miracle in our hearts, God. That's what we need. We want to live, Jesus. We want to live like you lived. So come, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.